So welcome again, everyone. Ah, so good to rest, yes? Allowing the body-mind to unwind from activity and concerns or whatever it's up to. So I'm just going to say a few things, and it's just in celebration of what is, never any teaching. Each one of us is the fullness of what is, and also the transparent, empty, wonderfully empty, open space. So just honoring each one of our body minds, consciousness made itself the most remarkable sensing instrument, with a full array of services within apps, so to speak, to color perception, to clarify, to experience all the contrasts. The body-mind, needless to say, is sensitivity and resilience. The mind is a soaring intellect. It also, when it contracts, goes into worried love, and then that affects the unfortunately named nervous system and the body. The body is willing to, like a fine musical instrument, respond to perceptions and beliefs and experiences and even things that we can't track in the unified field. So by being with what is, by what presents itself from moment to moment, then we can give the body-mind support, just the way as a musician would be aware of its instruments, strings being too tight or too loose. So finally, as sages, we become very practical and very respectful of our instrument, of the body-mind, treating it with that devotion and reverence and gratitude that hopefully we are present with nature, honoring the water and the sky and the space and the earth and
Pamela, I hate to interrupt you, but I'm hearing your voice fading out quite often, so we're losing words, and I don't know if there's something.
Oh, that's all right. I can speak up a little bit.
Okay, and it might be something with the phone because it's sort of an off-on, but we'll see if it gets there.
Okay. Glad to hear that. Thank you, dear. So how's this? Better? So maybe that was a life inviting me to just rest and see what's up with you all. That was my report. So any reports? What are you noticing? What's coming to sit? What are you celebrating about naturalness? And once again, just to speak star 6 to unmute yourself, and then to mute star 6 again.
Hello, Rich.
Yes.
And Diego.
Hello.
Here I am, Lord. That's an invitation from the Course in Miracles to just be present.
Beautiful.
With the whole group now. And I let all of you all the way in. Thank you all, and I bless you all in this very moment all over the world. I have no problems.
That's true.
And I am not a problem. And And I am not an I am. Banana peel slips on itself.
Good to hear from you, dear.
It's good to hear from me, too.
Yes.
I've got my wife laughing, and that's all. Keep laughing. Rule number one. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Wonderful report.
Who else can come swing their bat now?
Hi, Pamela. This is Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, and thank you, Rich. Thank you for your words about respecting and appreciating the body-mind. That was beautiful, even with the fading out. And I'm sitting still with minor anger and resentment, and I'm just sitting with it.
Yeah, at this point, as far as I can tell, that wants to give us a gift. It's also just as we are not who we appear to be, so what we call emotions are not just what they appear to be either.
No, I see there's a lot of sweetness in this emotion, set of emotions. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, dear.
Hi, Pamela. It's Carrie.
Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning. Could you, what you were just saying to Mary, I didn't understand that emotions aren't what they appear. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, well, especially anger, and this is just a relative view, especially for women. Mm-hmm. It's good to sit with anger and bring it closer, because we generally hold it away and even try and suppress it.
Yeah.
So it's actually pure strength.
Mm-hmm.
And if we just invite it in as natural strength, then it liberates itself.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that occasionally it might not get fiery and want to defend our rights and all that, but or the rights of other ones, loved ones.
Well, I'm sitting with a lot of, I guess there's some anger in there, but there's also a lot of sadness for a number of reasons, but specifically it's that after 14 and a half years, I was told Friday that because of downsizing and we're a nonprofit, I'm being laid off, and tomorrow is my last day.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's like, bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel, I feel excited about what can unfold now that I'm retired, but because it's so sudden and not on my terms, I just really feel awful.
Yeah. So just feeling into that deep place within that doesn't feel honored or respected.
Yes,
or even
that's where I am.
For 14 years. Yeah, so just take a moment and really being with it, not turning away or not giving it a drive-by satsang, you know, a little satsang for 2 seconds and then getting distracted again. We all do that, so not personal to you. But just really honoring that such a deep place in most friends. And if, pardon me, if we give it the respect it's craving, the deep listening, the deep honoring.
I lost you.
Yeah, just giving it the deep respect and deep honoring and deep listening that it resonates with. We can't count on so-called others to always give that, we've noticed.
Sort of like the observer giving to the self.
Yes, nicely said.
I guess it's just, you know, sitting with these feelings are, I know intellectually it's not comfortable, but they're there, so I might as well embrace them.
Yes, and it offers us a remarkable gift whenever we sit with something we don't want to sit with, because there's bound to be treasure there, otherwise distraction wouldn't be moving us away, or it wouldn't be defended by, you know, sorrow or hurt or... And just being with it the way you would like life itself to be with you, or colleagues to be with you. That deep respect.
Okay. I'm not quite sure how to do that, but I know that it will unfold.
Lovely. Yeah.
It will unfold.
And you don't have to get it right. It's just...
Whatever right is.
Exactly. That would be an imaginary image of a sage, an impeccable sage. So we're all sort of awkward sages.
Very much.
But just the way you would be with the innocence that was hurt.
Okay. I will do that.
Thank you, love.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Hi, Pamela. This is Drew Ann.
Hello.
Hi. You caught my attention with the first, statements of worry, love, and there is a dominant habit and preoccupation with worried love, especially mentally. And I've been noticing the past week or two that even though the worry, love, anticipatory thoughts are running full bore. At times there is action that isn't following those thoughts, isn't quite enchanted with those thoughts anymore. But, and that's kind of a curiosity, where it's not like I'm thinking I should do something other than what the worried thoughts are thinking. There's just action that isn't, enchanted, isn't allegiant to the worried, anticipatory fear thoughts. But I wondered if you would talk a little bit more about worried love. So I'm guessing its true nature then is love.
Aha!
But would you talk a little bit about, because that seems to be my, habituated stance with life. Fear-based, massive preoccupation with searching for safety or bracing against something that may not look safe.
Yes. Yeah, so we're all intimate with this. It's one way of speaking of it, which wouldn't be the full truth, is it's almost like the reptilian brain is in a habit of perceiving threat. Even, in a conversation or at a grocery store, or it's just always vigilant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe we could really honor that even though we apparently are of a certain age, this that we are has been embodied for, who knows, Papaji's say millions of years, and it's seen it all and probably experienced it all, from the glorious to the horrific. So just take a moment and honor the depth of experience for a second. It's like if you went met some elders that had been through a lot, you just went, whoa, ooh. Inner
just
bowing.
With the intention, my body starts to open and relax with that.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah.
The only thing the defenses and even the mind respond beautifully to is respect. Almost like you're bearing witness to its intelligence, that it's been through it all and still here, its resilience. Now, that aspect of the mind, has just one misunderstanding, actually two, really. So that's what I love about modern efficient satsang, is we can really show it its true nature. So one of its misunderstandings is that contracting will enhance awareness. And then, the adrenaline will enhance it even more. Like a heightened alertness through worry. Does that resonate?
Absolutely.
Yeah, now you're not doing any of that. It's like an automatic thing. But we can help it discern. So just thanking it for no reason, and it doesn't have to be sincere in the beginning, because usually we want to fire it. And noticing that it's contracting to defend, and then in the worry there's the reviewing and scanning and vigilance and armoring in the body. So it's a really full service app. Its other misunderstanding is that it's not in the present moment. So we have contraction and past future. So it starts to be a kind of a juicy satsang inside, because you have your main players that are maintaining tension are coming to sit. And they don't have to do anything they don't want to do, because they're also the same intelligent presence we are. But ask them if, you know, whatever you're curious about, or if they really like their job, contracting to protect, worrying to protect.
Well, and just in this moment, and I've noticed this over the past couple of months, it's hard for me to hold an open, honest curiosity when initially there's an assumption judgment. So when I look at this, there's like a little powwow of these protectors
yes.
coming to sit, and immediately there's a onslaught of judgment, mental judgments of but it's a harshness, and I can feel that it's like a covert contraction underneath.
Yes. Yeah, so now we honoring that, because that's another protective app. Judgment maintains separation. It maintains, it thinks it pushes people away and keeps them at a distance, or even apps, other apps. So here's the other player, judgment, separation. As you said, harshness. So just welcome. It's like your general and his team have arrived.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, can you get a sense they are devotional? I mean, they're very loyal and very enthusiastic.
Very, and very dedicated, yes. I
so
definitely
dedicated.
Feel
yeah.
the dedication.
Yeah. So, oddly enough, they are also made of a deep devotion to what is, to the preciousness of being. Just taking
yeah.
a moment, a little respect, a little, Here is devotion and love, but it's contracted and armored itself in order to defend formless, innocent space.
And I can sense it to the point of, like a soldier at ease. There's still tension, but it's more relaxed tension.
Beautiful, but this is a very efficient satsang. That was just a few moments of an inner namaste. An inner bow. So just thank them. They're at ease, right? That's
yeah,
what they say.
Yeah. At ease. I'd like dismissed, but at ease.
Well,
alert.
But you see, their essence is pure strength and devotion. So do you want to dismiss that?
No, but that is a really good clarity.
Yeah, so just honor them and just say, natural strength is welcome here, or just your own words, what resonates for you to honor that essence of pure devotional strength?
Well, and I can sense the presence of, the strength in calm presence.
Uh-huh.
I can sense that.
Yeah, and is there any longing in you for that to be a rooted constancy?
Absolutely.
Aha. And so, here's the mischief, is the omnipotence, that mountain strength, has been contracting into all the defenses, which is why pure awareness can feel shakeable.
Ah, yeah, I shake all the time.
Yeah, so
yeah.
Now honoring the mountain strength or lion-hearted strength. Just tell it, your medicine is needed here, or whatever you want to say to it. And ask it to let you feel its infinite rootedness or its mountain nature, so that even your body really gets the blessing.
You know, when I sense into that, there is a core of that. I can sense the core of it. There's quite a bit of tremoring. Kind of on the outer layers of that, but I can sense the rootedness,
mm-hmm.
actually in the root chakra, I can sense that.
Oh, gorgeous!
The other chakras, well, in the heart, I can sense it.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of, like the extremities, my arms, whatever, there's a constant buzz. But I can't.
Yeah, just thank the buzzing because it's just uncontaining the field that we call the body. And just reassuring everything that this pure strength is safe. Because our culture, I don't know if every culture, but our Western culture has a subconscious belief that strength or pure power is by nature destructive. But it's actually benevolent, completely neutral. Mountain welcome, really.
Yeah, I can really feel that going up through the chakras, especially in the heart.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you for staying with that so it can know itself.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for guiding me there. Thank you.
Oh, this is my favorite thing.
Beautiful. Thank you, Pamela.
Okay, dear.
Pamela?
Yes?
I have a question to follow up on your wonderful session with Joanne. And when I was following and going through with the worried love, to the natural strength, I got hung up with the thought that if I didn't do the protection, if I didn't do the armoring, and if something happened, then I was to blame. And I could not get...
Yes. And that's thought saying that, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Now, just notice that that's its mission statement is to defend at any cost.
Okay.
Yeah. And just honoring that level of devotion for a moment. Yes, yes, yes. So it has a misunderstanding that this formless presence that we are needs a layer of armoring in the, you know, tissues and muscles and fascia and to defend it. Because actually that's what it's worried about. Because here's a formless presence that's innocent and very, very precious. It's the great jewel of consciousness. And everything notices it's formless and that the body is also very tender and strong. But it doesn't think it's enough clear seeing. So it adds that extra tightness. It's like just in case.
Yes.
Yeah. Now it's just an innocent misunderstanding and an unexamined habit. And it's very neutral. We aren't doing it. It actually isn't even consciously doing it. But as you said so beautifully, it's like a bracing or a tightening just in case. And thanking it for no reason. And how does it respond to the awareness and the respect?
With more relaxation.
Yeah. So that's confirmation that it's let in the clear seeing. It really heard, so to speak, that it doesn't have to contract to serve or tighten to defend.
I had heard all of this before, but I always got hung up on the just in case.
Yeah. Now we just honor the just in case. That's very funny because I often think of the body when it's tight as a jewel case.
Oh.
Protecting the jewel. So here's just in case. Put the jewel back in a little box and lock it. Yeah, and what's so lovely is now the tightness is in service to satsang because it'll bring our awareness to some kinesthetic misunderstanding somewhere or some perception of threat that we might have missed.
Yes.
And then you as benevolent presence can just reassure that in your own way by noticing what's true in the present moment, because safety, where safety abides. And I know we all know this, but we're just going over it for the body mind, is in the present moment. It's not going to be in the future or the past.
Okay. Yes. Thank you so much, Pamela.
Oh, thank you for your loving attention to all of this.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Pamela. This is Lawrence.
Hello.
Oh, I've arrived at a place yesterday and today. I don't know what to make of it, but it feels like I'm dead. really, I mean, it's all, especially in the relative field of doing things and, you know, going around and doing things, being with people, going to places, it's all over. There's just nothing, there's nothing there, and, I don't know. There is nothing to do except sit and be empty because I don't know how to describe it. It's like it's all over. It's done.
Okay. But now we just have to watch for the mind, you know, adding stuff to what's happening in the moment.
Drama, yeah.
Well, just in this moment, just welcome dead, it's all over, interpretation.
Well, maybe dead is not the right word, but it's an empty field.
Okay, very good. And is it restful?
It's very restful. There's no anxiety.
Very nice.
Maybe a little tinge of underlying resentment that there's nothing to do anymore, or that nothing wants to be done right now. I haven't been in this place before, and it's kind of strange.
Yeah, but just honor it as space for a moment. An unadorned space is welcome here.
Oh, yeah. It definitely is.
And just a few times really honoring it, because it's such a blessing. And it's nothing is forever except for empty space, so to speak.
Yeah.
But it's a warm, benevolent, empty space.
But, you know, there's a weariness about it. It's too tired to even do inner satsang anymore. It doesn't
have to do anything. But invite weariness, because weariness is not what it appears to be. And you don't have to do inner satsang, but just a little bow or a nod to weariness.
Okay.
Like everything is just laying its bundle down, its burden down. What a blessing that is.
There's really no strong emotion connected with it, except just feeling, it's empty space.
Just for fun, just because I'm wonderfully nudgy sage, can you fall back into the weariness?
Yeah.
As if it was a feather bed?
Well, yeah, that's definitely present because everything seems like too much trouble right now.
Yeah, but just in this moment, as formless presence, fall back, backwards, into the weariness.
I'm there.
Yeah, and just rest. It actually invites us into a deeper peace
Yeah, that's it. That's the only thing that's desired. There's nothing else calling.
Yeah. And then the body will just rise and respond. No?
That, I'm not feeling that. I'm just...
Yeah, but it won't do it until it does it.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. It's sort of, sometimes I think of grace as, remember the old magicians that could flick a tablecloth out from a whole bunch of things?
Yeah.
And not disturb the things? It was always very impressive.
Yeah.
Yes, so grace is kind of like that. She's just flicked an imaginary tablecloth out. And there's an adjustment. But, you know, then thought likes to go, okay, this is it, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
We don't know. But grace is definitely up to something, and it sounds very restful.
Well, it's very restful, and the strange thing is that I really don't care.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, there's no, I mean, there's no fighting with it. It's just the way it is, and it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, you know, there's also that little feeling of, what about all this love and joy that's supposed to come out of it? Where's that?
Okay.
That's not here either.
Yeah, but love and joy, this is where they go rest.
Mm.
Don't they?
They
Even
are
love and joy
resting.
Like to rest.
Yeah.
So this is the home of homes, which is the quiet, open space, and it's very neutral and simple and always here. But it, apparently it's enjoying just hanging out. That's good.
You know, it would even be hard to say that it's enjoying it.
Good point.
It's just, it's just totally neutral, empty.
There you go.
And it doesn't want to be bothered either.
Lovely, yeah.
Anything that comes along and says, can we do this? It's like, go away. I'm resting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just as your friend, Sage, just enjoy this.
Okay.
And not in the human way, but just really allow it, because it's a beautiful retreat. It's giving itself.
Okay.
And trust me, life will start sprouting new green shoots.
Okay.
So it's lovely. Great. It's like in sports, you're on the bench. It's so good.
Oh, yeah, definitely on the cosmic bench.
There you go.
For sure.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Pamela.
Much love.
You too.
You didn't do the right thing.
Hi, Pamela. It's Danny.
Hey.
And thank you. This has been wonderful listening to this. And I have been noticing and was hoping you'd maybe speak a little too or have some direction for all these awakening experiences as they're integrating. It seems now that there's this more on a steady diet of, I'm calling it an unwinding. Maybe I'm hoping it's an unwinding.
Yes.
Of past things coming up. It's like a nostalgia that seems to be overcoming me at different points of what would be, in my mind, silly things. And then I cry over something. I'll give an example. A friend of mine came in town, took me to lunch, and as we were walking down the street, he moved to the outside, which for my generation was something that men did. They walked on the outside.
That's right.
And it made me think of my upbringing and all of the wonderful courtesies, my father and friends standing when I'd come in the room, you know, these kinds of things that are gone. And who cares? I mean, they've been gone so long that it's like, where is this coming from? And then I no sooner got home, walked in the door, and I burst into tears.
Yes.
Seemingly over that. And I thought, oh, really? you know. So I'm hoping this is just some unwinding that goes on as part of this integration where things are, old cell memories are clearing, or
I'm fascinated by the original naturalness of presence. And what I know you've noticed, we've all noticed, is that it animates everything equally. It sees no distinctions. It's also incredibly respectful of all beings, from ants to elephants,
yes,
to humans to galaxies to,
yes,
yeah?
Yes.
So I'm just wondering, because I've noticed that within presence as well.
Oh.
There's a cherishing of the old ways.
Oh,
and
nicely
it also
put.
Means devotion to, I'll notice it will sometimes sink water when it comes out of the tap.
Yeah, I do that too.
And that it'll bow to strangers. So I think it got very touched.
Yeah, something. See, I get teary even thinking about it again now. It's sort of like, and it's not a sense of wanting it to come. Well, that's not true. There are parts of some of manners that I would like to see back in place.
But before they were called manners, it's natural respect.
Yes, excellent. Yes,
you know,
exactly
just
right.
The way we are with wilderness and wild animals and, you know, food. If you've ever grown
yes.
your own food or something,
yes.
it's like, oh, thank
yes.
you. Thank you. That
yes.
it's presence recognizes that which is precious, that which is real, that which is generous and respectful and gracious, because that's its nature. So it gets
yeah.
really touched.
I see. Okay, so it's not me losing it completely, because I also, just the things you've brought up now, like even last night, I thought I just have to go out and walk the neighborhood because some of my favorite trees are in bloom and they have this incredible fragrance at night.
Wonderful.
And I've always had a rather special relationship with nature, and it'll just send packets, I mean, just intense packet waves of fragrance when I get within a block of the tree.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so I just go and honor nature, well, all the time, but I make special forays sometimes, as much for my, more for my benefit, probably.
You know, a lot of our intense listening to thought, and as thought unwinds, I love that word you used, then we're more aware of the responsiveness in the field. Yeah?
Yes. Yeah.
So there's a greater sensitivity and often that's not spoken of in the unfoldment, that we are going to be more sensitive, and there's going to be a noticing of the natural resonance with something mm-hmm. that's true.
Oh,
and there'll
yeah.
be also a noticing of the natural, we could call it dissonance, but aversion to that which is conditioned and rushed or disrespectful.
Yes.
Because this that we are is returning to its naturalness.
Oh,
and it's an elemental being that is ancient and ageless. And it's not of this world, but it's very willing to be here. God animates everything.
Yes.
So I totally relate. Like, I've noticed when I was go to France, when I first stayed with this friend of mine, she had two young sons, and they, when I would enter the room, they'd stand up and they'd
yes.
kiss my cheeks and say good morning or good evening. And then when I'd be in London, you know, there would be some sort of surly teenagers who wouldn't, they go, oh, hello, like that, you know.
Yeah.
And so, and even some American kids I've met, you know, there's not a hello, you know.
No.
So this is just naturalness, noticing the conditioned and then so appreciating when it encounters a natural being.
I see. That, oh, thank you, because, you know, I, you know, my God kid sometimes will tease me about being, you know, old guard and the old guard kind of thing. And I think, well, so I try to let go of it, thinking it's me being judgmental or holding, and I don't want to be holding on to anything anymore, but it's so beautiful the way you put it, because it is really just that when it's not done just to be doing it, but just as a natural response, it is just a respecting of what is.
Yes, just the way that you honor those trees.
Yes, and the water and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, so I really bow to your old guard ways. It's just that original decency and respect and graciousness.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's who everybody is, but under pressure, everything moves away from the naturalness.
I see. Also, the old ways or manners, respect can also move into a very snobby kind of holier than thou territory too. And so that's something that I. But that hasn't been what I've been feeling. It was mainly just
right.
A loss of something that was. Seemingly gentle, you know.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the more you honor that in yourself and honor it in all beings, because it's in everybody, even in the rudest, most identified role play jerk or jerkette, there, it's going to be, there's going to be that deep naturalness. But it's.
Boy, hard to find when I'm standing holding the door for 20-year-olds. That's always an interesting experience for me, getting knocked out by already coming out of the elevators.
Oh, well, yeah, just bow to their persona.
Yeah.
What to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, thank you, dear.
Thank you so much, Pamela. Okay.
Hey, Ken.
How are you?
Great.
I was just listening in the last few minutes, and I don't know how to describe this because it was very subtle, but something dropped, and it felt like there was some perhaps unconscious projection that was there, and all of a sudden it was gone. Like my thought about you, we met a few years ago, and I've listened to her a few times, and I wasn't even aware of it. But all of a sudden, as you were talking, something dropped away, and all of a sudden I felt more present, and like some sort of fluff that was being projected out there was gone.
Yes.
That makes any sense.
Yeah,
and,
glad to hear.
Yeah, it's interesting. It happens periodically. These projections, and they're certainly a lot less than they were, but it almost seems to be inherent in the way we all relate to each other, that there's always something that goes out as an image rather than actually seeing what and who was there.
Beautifully said. Yeah.
Dropping. Well, the other thing that I've been noticing recently was often when I'm at a satsang or sitting with a teacher or you know, in various circumstances, there's a sense of expansion, that sort of expansion into consciousness or being or whatever, and it often feels horizontal. And lately, several times, what I'm feeling is almost like a vertical expansion down into the ground. And it's interesting because I've spent a lot of time trying to ground myself over the years. And this actually feels like nothing that I'm actually doing. But it's, again, it's this feeling of dropping. And then, there's less of a boundary between myself and the ground, so to speak.
Yes.
And so it's, I don't know, it's, it feels great, but it also feels very different than sort of a horizontal expansion,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, for me, I call it the rootedness. But I feel originally, you know, the ancient image of the cross that was even pre-Christian is a embodiment clue. That sort of amazing infinite verticality and rootedness and then infinite expansion.
Mm.
And it's so beautiful when the body notices that and lives that, because then that there's that felt sense of being unshakable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's as though from that kind of expansion, there's a greater trust in what unfolds, I guess. There's less sort of concern. It's kind of, I don't know, it's like knowing everything is going to be okay, mm-hmm. or is okay as it is. There's not anything particular to do. But what I struggle a little bit is even in this sense of dropping and expanding downward or rootedness, there's a kind of a desire to more fully dissolve, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of like, oh, wow, this is great. I want more, and I'm not sure what.
But
you can't push it. It just happens.
Yeah. But there's resonance. So that, to me, is the proof of the pudding, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a longing arises for more,
mm-hmm.
and the infinite is resonating with that.
Mm-hmm.
So then I just confirm it, go, yeah.
Uh-huh, okay.
Infinite noticing, infinite rootedness and expansion and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love that this is not a finite happening, that it is an infinite unfurling or dissolving or whatever the word we resonate with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like a bonus blessing. Wow. Yay.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Anyway, thank you.
Mm. Beautiful satsang, Ken.
Take care.
Yeah, Rich in Imperial Beach, up and down and round and round. Thank you so much, Ken. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
This is Ken. Oh. Now I can't hear her. Well, I don't want to talk. I'm not hearing anything.
Is hi there.
Can I set it here?
Did you want to speak, love?
Hello.
Yes? Can you hear us? So once again, if you want to speak, just *6 to unmute yourself, and then when it feels complete, *6 again to mute.
Pamela?
Yes.
Is it okay to go ahead?
Sure.
I have a, one of the previous callers was talking about projection. I have a question about clear seeing and versus projection, I guess it would be.
Yes.
I was looking at, I'm looking for a rental, and I encountered a landlord yesterday that as soon as I saw him, he had on glasses, I mean, heavy hoodie and sunglasses, so I couldn't see his eyes, which always bothers me to not see people's eyes. But as soon as I looked at him, there was this sense of danger.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't know that I've ever I felt quite that before. I felt danger from people before, but this was like, it was just so unusual. And the whole time I was aware of this and wondering if he's a mass murderer or something. And my mind is constantly saying, no, that, you know, this is, he must be fine. I'm just making this up. It, you know, and I know those are extremes of describing it, but how do I know what I'm picking up?
You know, well, you're just listening to your body. Thought will always do the opposites, right? Oh, he's probably really nice. Like, oh,
yeah.
Oh, but ooh, he's not, you know.
Yeah.
Thought goes back and forth. So it's just listening to your body. Does that resonate?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Actually, if I trusted that, I'd just say I'm not going back there again.
Right. Yeah.
Regardless of what it means.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nicely said. That was clear as a bell. We don't have to really do a deep inquiry. We just noticed that the body said no.
Oh, that's okay then, just to go with that, with things like that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, before there was even an intellect with its genius capacity to scroll through all the opposites and scan and review and interpret and figure everything out, there is just this instinctual natural intelligence, right?
Right.
And part of the unfoldment, once again, is this return to the naturalness where we're listening within, yeah? And
right.
Not letting the mind override that natural intelligence.
And it's a constant struggle for me to not let my mind try to say other than what is.
Okay. But you just have to give it extra compassion. Because
okay. And
this
I guess I need reassurance that it's okay. I mean, you're already giving me that, and I can give it to myself, too, but that it's okay to listen to that, because all my life I was told I can't.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, the mind wants to, when it's in its identified role, it wants to maintain sovereignty and be the captain of the ship.
Right.
Yeah? So you're just as present as naturalness. You're honoring it because it's a genius, and we need the practical, creative intelligence. But you're gently returning it back to a balanced naturalness. Because its job is to doubt true nature, to maintain tension and role play and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So even sometimes you can just say hush.
Okay.
And have some fun, because this is where we rise up as sages, so all the old servants within can rest, including the mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
And thank you for listening to that still small voice that knows the way.
I'm trying.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Pamela.
Thank you, dear.
Bye-bye.
So we have enough timelessness for a few more sages to speak or share what you're noticing.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh. Hi, this is Julie.
Hi, Julie.
I'm delighted to be here in the satsang and to be able to resonate with what people are experiencing. Now I got a little nervous.
Oh, that's all right.
Talking, but
I think it's a natural quality in consciousness. Shyness.
Yeah. So I guess I'm not sure I have really a particular question. Just kind of wanted to stand up and wave and...
Lovely.
Be in appreciation of the quality of presence that is pretty different from the usual day-to-day.
Thank you for honoring that. Sounds like you're noticing that everything is presence. Doesn't matter what job it has.
Hello, Pamela.
Yes.
This is Newt. I'm calling you from England.
Aha. Are you visiting your mom?
I am. I'm sitting in my mom's living room, but not with my mom.
Yes.
She has been whisked off to a care facility because her dementia has come to the point where she, I think, has been deemed not safe to live alone or just
alone.
With her carers. And just as I decided to unmute myself and speak, I suddenly... The phrase that she's saying, she's kind of begging to come home. That's literally the words that she's asking. And I read something about dementia recently about how people often will ask repeatedly to go home even if they're still living in their home where they've lived for decades. And that just suddenly struck me that the other place where I hear that quite often is in satsang, people talking about wanting to come home, but not in reference to an actual place.
Same home.
Yeah.
Same longing.
Yeah. So I'm going to go and actually be in her company tomorrow and be presented with that same longing, I guess.
There's a, if it resonates, I can share something that Ramana did for his mom.
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah, and I did it for my dad, is he would place his left hand on his mom's head and his right hand on the right side of her chest to help bring the I thought back into the spiritual heart.
Mm.
It also relieves tension in the body mind and also balances brain activity. I've also, this sounds very irreverent, but I did it once on a wild cat that was tame enough to allow me that, and it was amazing. All this tension came out of the cat's body into mine and then into vastness. Mm. The other thing in India is, if they say, and it works, I also did for my dad, if you hold her feet, if she'll let you hold her feet, that will also remove a lot of the uncomfortable past and tension and agitation out of her body. But you would know best.
Well, I shall take those ideas with me. Thank you.
And even holding her hand will help root her.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, that's something which I've heard you say before, and it's not something that's been a big part of my relationship with my mother growing up or since, really, to be in much physical contact apart from hugging hello and hugging goodbye. But I kind of feel like I want to allow myself to step into that somehow.
Lovely, yes. Yeah. Even if there's no language as the dementia progresses, that original language of touch and presence being with itself is always felt and noticed and nourishing.
Mm. Thank you.
Thank you, dear. Bowing to you.
And back to you.
Hello.
Yes?
This is Lena.
Hello.
Hello. And to name the voice of the guilt.
Can you speak up just a bit, love?
Yep. I just want to take the chance to name or speak the voice of the guilt.
Yes.
The voice, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And which is always there, more or less. No, it's always there, actually. And I have talked about it before, but just want to take a chance to yeah, to air it a bit. And the voice of the guilt says that one has no right to be free.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a kind of hook.
I'm wondering if it isn't the I thought's guilt, not yours.
I thought guilt.
Yeah.
How do you mean?
Well, Ramana used that phrase, the I thought, meaning the identified part of the mind that separated, apparently. And then with a personal agenda, so I'm not talking about your I thought, but the original one I thought that everybody hears in your mind.
Yeah.
And it's the non-loving part of the contracted intelligence. And it's asking you, the true nature of guilt, I find, is natural regret. And we can really honor natural regret.
Mm-hmm.
But the I is asking you, can I also know my true nature? Can I also come home? Does that resonate?
Well, the interesting thing that happens as you speak is that my capacity to understand is shut down, which is very
okay. So no, it's just defending itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everything is innocent.
Yeah.
In its essence. So can you honor that little cluster of guilt? Can you honor its essential innocence? It's like an inner bow or an inner namaste. I honor the divine in you, even in the guilt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then ask it what its longing is, or how it would like you to be with it. Because it's really demanding satsang from you.
Yeah. Well, what I can perceive is that it's made of love.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, what can I say? Huge and aching, and it's constructed out of love. That's what I, when I ask what it wants for me, I can, that's what I perceive.
Yes, and just this, that you are just pouring yourself into this ancient regret.
Yeah, it's a lot of confusion in me as you speak, in the head.
That's okay. Now, just welcome confusion.
Yeah.
And honor it as not knowing, because really it's just an agitated not knowing, right?
Yeah.
And here's this amazing one mind that we each share. And it's been so tight and vigilant and overwhelmed and stressed. And it's just unwinding. And it'll relax through like a level of confusion because we're really honoring its essence.
What I feel aware of is that I need to hear you speak this. Again, and
yeah.
I mean, more time. I need to hear it again.
Yeah. So we're honoring this that feels guilty,
mm-hmm.
which is a just a healthy natural regret underneath that agitation. We're honoring its essence as pure intelligence, pure being, pure service, and that it's very, very innocent.
Well, when you said that, I could see it now. It's innocent, yeah.
Yeah. And just the way we were so innocent that we allowed all the beliefs in, and we allowed all the misunderstandings, and we allowed all the sort of group tribal habits in. Yeah. So also the mind did that.
There's a lot of charge around this, right? There's a lot of
And just bow to that.
Yeah.
Is it just a layer of defense? I had to reassure my mind that I wasn't trying to fire it.
Yeah.
And that I didn't want it to go anywhere. I needed the practical creative intelligence.
Yeah.
And then I bowed a lot. Please forgive me for trying to fire you or get rid of you. Or
fantastic. That was the reason, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it feels like an animal that's cornered and being battered by the Dharma or the...
Yeah.
Not very loving.
Thank you.
Yeah. And its deepest question it appeared to be asking you was, can I also return to my naturalness?
Yeah.
Yeah. What does the heart say?
Well, the heart is very touched.
Mm-hmm.
Very touched.
Mm-hmm. We have a word in English. I don't know if you know it. It's amnesty, where anyone that's ever done anything is pardoned. So it's like a clear slate, a clean slate. Everyone is welcome here. Yeah. Everybody is honored as pure being, as innocence. Everybody gets to come home and rest.
What happens now is that the body is freezing cold, as it used to be when it's a lot of old emotion. That's
And just welcoming that. Just, yes, 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 you too are welcome here. Come home, come home.
Mm.
And did that cold feeling rest a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. It's not gone, but it's not cramping as is the moment.
Good. And just thank the body and reassure it. It's safe. It's safe. Nothing is going anywhere. Yeah. It's just relaxing into its naturalness. There's no loss of anything that's real.
What is going on now is that my mind is saying that I need to attend many platforms with you and hear, I need to hear you say this many times. You need to repeat it many weeks or
so. But it's also in that statement asking you to keep reassuring it.
Uh-huh.
In that longing for Parent Pamela to keep saying that over and over, it's actually longing to be reassured also by you, the same being.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So even for me, for about a year, I had to work with the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And really honoring it and helping it discern and soothing it and helping it notice it was the same innocent, pure intelligence.
Very sweet. What it says is that it just can't understand what you say.
Mm-hmm.
He really wants to, but he can't understand.
Yeah, and invite it to look behind, I can't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And just to look into its own innocence.
It's very innocent.
Very innocent.
Very innocent.
Yeah, it's neither understanding or
not understanding. It's actually Say again?
Something happened in the body again now. It got really contracted and cold again.
Oh, yeah. So it didn't like the way I said that. So honor the contraction also as innocent and protective.
Yeah. It's like a great strength. That what the body reacted to now, it's like a great strength or something big or so. It's the way it is that is held back.
So it was hard to hear you, love, so you said it was reacting to it as a great strength?
Yeah, that's how it felt, like that what the body now, what made the body contract and get frozen again. It felt like it was a big strength.
Yes, and great strength is welcome here, isn't it?
Yeah. Other mind got a bit confused about that again.
But that's all right. Now, confusion is, it's just because we're in the elemental realm right now rather than the human or the divine. We're in the deepest naturalness. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of files on it. So when we're honoring strengths or we're honoring the true nature of everything, confusion will arrive.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just say, rest to that. Nothing needs to be known. Because here we're not in the realm of doing, we're in the realm of being.
Mm-hmm.
And confusion, I find, is such a wonderful invitation for the mind to relax.
Yeah. It did now, when you said the last thing.
Good.
It took that, really.
Yeah, it likes being.
Yeah.
Such a relief. Millions of years of doing, and yay, here's being.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Oh, much love to you. Great to hear from you.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye-bye. And this concludes our satsang for today. And just going to return the hosting back to beautiful Tao of East Bay Open Circle with much gratitude. And there's a telesatsang again July 20th and July 27th.
Yes.
Yes? Great.
Yes. Thank you so much, Pamela. Such a wonderful gathering. And besides the upcoming telesatsangs with Pamela on July 20th and 27th, on July 13th we have a web gathering with Adam Checksfield. And...
highly recommended.
So I will go ahead and unmute everyone, and we can all say farewell together. Thank you all.